From Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay of Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week we're talking with Chip Joyce. He's directing the musical Jekyll and Hyde at East Light Theater. Performances continue tonight and tomorrow. Chip, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
What was it about this particular show that, you know, that drew you to it, that made you want to direct a production?
You know, I thought about it, and it's very different from anything else I've done. Yeah, done a lot of rock musicals, done a lot of this, that, and the other thing, and I don't really like repeating myself. I feel like a good or a competent director can show range, you know, so it's best not to repeat yourself. And I thought about it, and there's not a lot of horror musicals out there, and I hadn't done one yet. You know, there's Sweeney Todd. Beyond that, I don't know that you can name too many others. So Jekyll and Hyde was appealing in that sense. The last show I directed was Hair last summer at Cornstalk, and this seemed like a completely different direction than that was. You know, a period gothic horror type show, different type of music, just appealed to me. Something I hadn't done and wanted to try.
You had mentioned the last show you directed, which was Hair. You did that out at Cornstalk. This production's at East Light.
Right.
Is there something about East Light that makes it a great place to do this show?
They have a professional technical staff, a resident technical director, an assistant technical director, and, you know, a pretty professional stage crew that really make everything look and sound top-notch. Not a lot of community theaters out there have the resources that they have, so they're very fortunate there. And, you know, when you direct a show at East Light, you know it's going to look great.
I think Steve Cordell, the technical director there, is an unsung hero in our community.
Sure.
But talk about the set and the production's use of special effects.
The set is, I don't want to give too much away, but the set is motorized. You know, set pieces move on and on, seemingly by themselves. I mean, you know, secretly there's a motor and somebody flipping a switch or something backstage for it all. But to sit backstage and watch them do what they do is almost as interesting a show as what you see happening on stage. It's kind of the magic, the secret behind the tricks, I guess. It's really impressive. I mean, they've got it down to a science. It's a really well-oiled machine. There are some special effects, a lot of exciting lighting and visual effects and things that happen on stage that you don't typically see in a show. I wouldn't say magic necessarily, but what you might expect from a musical about a scientist that transforms into a murderous, monstrous kind of guy.
One of the things that's always struck me about this show is the range that it requires, particularly of your lead, because this is an actor who has to play both the Jekyll and Hyde personas,
right.
And the way the show is constructed, there are a couple of instances where he has to play both of them, ping-pong back and forth between the two roles in the same scene. Can you talk a little bit about that challenge?
Yeah, Jared Hazard, who is kind of a staple in local theater, he's been in several shows I've directed. He's almost as busy as I am with theater stuff, it seems like, is playing Jekyll and Hyde, and it's played by one guy. And yeah, he does transform on stage back and forth multiple times through the show. I remember during rehearsals, as the actors were trying to kind of wean themselves from the scripts and that, half the time he didn't know who he was supposed to be coming on stage at, and it was pretty funny. But he does. You know, it's turning from Jekyll into Hyde. You don't get the luxury that you would in movies of clever editing or great makeup or, you know, CGI effects or anything like that. It's all done by the actor. There's little bit cosmetic that changes his hair and his makeup as the show goes on, but 99.9% of the transformation is done purely physically by the actor. Body, voice, just presence. You know, we talk about stage presence. When he stands there, he's got to look and seem like he's a different guy as Hyde than when he's Jekyll. And it's a lot harder to do than someone might think.
How did you get him to transition?
We actually spent a night or a couple nights of our rehearsal process where it was just us, you know, myself, the director, and the principals, specifically Jared as Jekyll and Hyde. And we broke several moments of the show down, talked about what's happening to him physically. He turns into Hyde and goes out and kind of wreaks havoc during the night. So obviously that's going to take a toll on Jekyll physically when he turns back into Jekyll. I mean, just because Hyde's energetic and is up all night, he's still in Jekyll's body. So the next morning when Jekyll sort of wakes up from the Hyde trance, he's going to be physically beat down. His body is, you know, the vessel that carries both of them. So you see that as the show goes on. And there's also a lot of maybe sort of subtle connotation to what happens to an addict. You know, he starts off, he's a well-to-do scientist, comes from a good family, his intentions are good, and he starts to turn a little neurotic, physically changes his violent moods, swings, just irrational behavior. His friends and family and loved ones start to grow really concerned about him. Sure enough, this is why, because he's moonlighting his hide every night, probably not giving much away, murdering, and like I said, just wreaking general havoc on London. You know, the transformations kind of go through different things. He sort of becomes more sophisticated as Hyde. As he becomes more comfortable with being Hyde and less comfortable with being Jekyll, you also see that in his performance as well. And we talked about the body counts really high in the show, and we talk about the various people he whacks. Each one's done differently, and he gets, this is kind of weird to talk about, but, you know, he gets more and more sophisticated with his murders as the show goes on. I don't want to give much more away. You got to come see the show to maybe find out what I mean there. But we did. We spent a lot of time just kind of dissecting what it would be like to have a dual personality like that.
Well, and that's the thing. We all know that the Jekyll and Hyde story is a metaphor for sort of the dueling natures that we all
right.
have within us. But one thing that I had forgotten is that it's a story about two socioeconomic classes, because Jekyll comes from this
right.
sort of affluent, rarefied society, but
mm-hmm.
big portions of this story also take place in back alleys and bad
right.
neighborhoods, and there's a whole cast of characters that populates that world.
And as the show goes on, the two classes start to kind of mix and intermingle, and you see that happening, and it's because of his presence in sort of both worlds as Jekyll and as Hyde also. Kind of the main motif or the theme song of the show is a song called Facade that suggests, if you listen to the lyrics, you don't know who's good, who's bad. The show sort of suggests that you might be a little bit of both, or that we might all be a little bit of both. Good people with a dark side, or bad people with maybe a streak of good hiding within them.
And how did you get your actors to master the English accent?
Well, fortunately, the show was written by an Englishman. So whenever I direct a show, I always tell them the writer's words are gospel, and you need to stick to the writer's words. I mean, each word, each pause, everything, it's there for a reason. It's the writer's intention. You know, you don't play jazz with what the writer says. You stick to it. Every now and then there are accidental exceptions and whatnot, but it's important to stick to the writer's words. And the book writer of the show was British. So fortunately, it's written in a very, I guess I want to say, articulate, period-appropriate tone. And so if you deliver it correctly, you almost kind of get by without having an accent. I told him there's nothing worse than a bad fake accent on stage. And I said it's better that you're articulate and understood than necessarily, you know, appropriate. Milos Forman said the same thing to his actors when they shot Amadeus, and it won Best Picture at the Oscars that year. So I'm assuming that's an okay directorial choice to make.
But did Jared try the accent and you say, let's just have you go normal then?
You know what he actually does? When he becomes Hyde, he suddenly kind of adapts a different type of accent. At one point I listened to him and sort of jokingly thought in my mind, he kind of sounds like a deranged beetle or something. You know, Paul McCartney after a rough night or something. I don't know. A little bit of Liverpool in his tone, maybe. I don't know.
But I like that. I could see that working.
We'll see if people who attend the show agree.
And so after the show closes this weekend, then what's next for you? I know that you're directing a show coming up at the Cornstalk Lab later in the
right.
fall. Anything else?
The next project for me directorially will be directing The Graduate at Cornstalk Lab Theater, my first non-musical as a director. Like I said, I always want to do something I haven't done before, so finally stepping into non-musical territory. Of course, that's based on the movie. But before that, I will be appearing at East Light Theater later this summer in August in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's a regional premiere of, you know, the stage version of the classic family movie with the flying car. I'll be in that. Jekyll and Hyde is certainly not I wouldn't say a family-friendly show, but Chitty Chitty Bang Bang definitely is. So maybe leave the kids at home for Jekyll, but bring your kids to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
So Chip Joyce is getting around this summer.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Chip Joyce is the director of Jekyll and Hyde. There are two more performances tonight and tomorrow night at East Light Theater. Chip, break a leg.
Thanks.
And Nathan, Luthy Botanical Gardens presents their Rhapsody in Bloom Arts Festival this weekend in beautiful Glen Oak Park. Held from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and from noon to 5 p.m. on Sunday, the festival features the work of 50 regional artists, along with food, beverages, and entertainment by top local groups.
And now that summer is officially underway, outdoor concerts have returned to the CEFQ Center Stage down on the Peoria Riverfront. This weekend includes Wedding Band tonight and tomorrow night, Seventh Heaven. Those concerts will continue most weekends through the summer.
Out and About is a production of WCBU Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
And you can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About.